Welcome to This Organized Life. If you're a mom, wife, or coffee lover seeking advice on how to reduce clutter and reclaim time, look no further than your host, Lori Palau, founder of Simply Be Organized and author of Hot Mess, A Practical Guide to Getting Organized. For a lot of people, clutter is their dirty little secret, but it doesn't have to be. Each week, we will share practical tips, chat with experts, and provide strategies on how to keep you organized. I hope that by sharing our stories, you feel a little less alone and more empowered to tackle the areas that are holding you back. So let's get started.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to our Thanksgiving episode of This Organized Life podcast. I am your host, Lori Palau. And one of the great things about having a show drop on Thursdays is that every year we are able to be with you on Thanksgiving, which is my favorite holiday because it's, for me, all about family and hospitality and friends and gratitude. And so whether you're listening to this in real time, because maybe you're prepping the turkey or you're maybe trying to avoid some family members, or you're listening to this after Thanksgiving, we're hoping that this episode brings you some joy and gratitude and perspective during the holiday season. So normally for our Thanksgiving episode, I kind of talk about, if you've listened to our show for a while, I've maybe talked about things that I've been grateful for or that I'm thankful for. But this year, I wanted to do a slightly different spin. I invited a guest to come join me, and I'm going to bring him out in a minute, but just to kind of give you some backstory and perspective. And for many of you, you might know that I do a lot of work, our family does, and our community with the St. Baldrick's Foundation. And Tim is going to talk about the St. Baldrick's Foundation, how it started, what its mission is, all the things, but in a very top line overview, St. Baldrick's Foundation funds pediatric cancer research. And that's something that has been very important to me over the years. It's an extremely underfunded part of the cancer research umbrella. And unfortunately, I've had a lot of personal friends whose families have been impacted by losing kids to cancer. On the flip side, I also have some kids who are here, my friends' kids who are here today, as a result of treatments that they got through grants funded by the St. Baldrick's Foundation. And so I wanted to invite my friend Tim Kenny, who is the founder of this incredible organization, to join me to talk a little bit about his story, because I think we hear about all these amazing charities doing all the great work that they do, but we don't know the stories behind it. And so I have the unique privilege and opportunity to have a front row seat to some of the key leadership at the St. Baldrick's Foundation. And Tim graciously decided, or agreed, I should say, to join me today to just share his story and talk a little bit about what he and his wife, Jill, have done over the years to build this organization to where it is today and the impact that it has. And my hope for all of you listening out there is that it leaves you with, again, feeling of gratitude for the things that you have and the people in your lives, and empowerment for an inspiration to get involved in things, whether it's the St. Baldrick's Foundation, and we'll, of course, have links for that if that's something that you're interested in, or another organization that is near and dear to your heart, because it's giving your time, of money. In St. Baldrick's Foundation, it could be of your hair. All of these things really are, at the end of the day, what makes our lives meaningful. So despite all the things that we talk about with organization and clutter, all of that to say, we want to leave a legacy of impact. And how can we do that? And Tim Kenny, my guest today, is certainly somebody who has done that. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome my guest for our special Thanksgiving episode, Mr. Tim Kenny, to the show. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you, Lori. It's a pleasure, an honor, and I'm humbled that you asked me to be involved in such a thankful presentation.
I appreciate it. So I gave our listeners real top line, very top line overview, but just in your own words, can you tell our listeners a little bit about you and who you are and kind of just give us your backstory.
That shouldn't take long. I grew up in Ireland, the oldest of six, small farm, relatively, I would say, poor. But that didn't stop us from having a great family and learn how to work hard on the farm. And long story short, I was the first person in my family to go to college, get a master's, get a CPA. And luckily, I got a green card and had the good fortune to come to the U.S. shortly thereafter. And that is one of the things I have been thankful for every day since I came here, because it is the greatest country in the world. I came here with $200 in my pocket, and the rest is kind of history. Started a few companies, ran a few companies, and eventually sold my company 3 years ago. And I guess I'm somewhat retired, other than St. Baldrick's keeps me fairly busy.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what St. Baldrick's is and how it all came to be? Because I was going to say, how you got involved in it was you probably, unbeknownst to you, started this massive foundation. So maybe you can walk us through a little bit about what you guys do and how it all even came to be. Because I know a bit about the origin story, but I think it's fascinating for our people to learn a little bit about the grassroots.
It's actually quite simple and somewhat funny in a way. Back in July weekend, long weekend of 1999, I had played golf with a few friends, badly, might I add. And we were just hanging out in my backyard at the time. And we had a few lemonades, a few wines, a few beers. And as the night went on, the three of us worked in the reinsurance industry downtown Manhattan. And I said, we're doing okay. We weren't printing money, but we were, when you come from nothing, we were doing okay. And I said, why don't we do something to give back? We're saying thank you for our good luck. So we kind of brainstormed a bit, and we came up with head shaving. We used to get together in a bar downtown Manhattan called Jim Brady's, and all we did was have a debaucherous St. Patrick's Day party. So we decided that following St. Patrick's Day, March 17, 2000, we'd get 17 guys, we'd get them to shave their heads, raise $1,000 on each of them, and we'd raise $17,000 on March 17. So we actually raised $104,000 in cash in the bar. And we didn't know what to do with the money. We wrapped it in a tablecloth and took it home.
That's insane. Wait, yeah. I hope you did take it on the subway.
No, that was the night we needed a car service. But so then we had to figure out what we were going to do. We knew we wanted to do something for childhood cancer research, because we didn't want to do what kind of everyone else does, take care of families, et cetera, and all sorts of things. The head shaving was done in solidarity with children who go through chemo. It can be brutal. And kids who are losing their hair going through chemo, they get their ribbing at school, and kids can be cruel and kind. But so we found the National Childhood Cancer Foundation, and that was strictly research. So we started working with them for a while, and we weren't too happy actually with how things were going. So we set up St. Baldrick's. And St. Baldrick's is basically a portmanteau or putting together of two words, Bald and Patrick, therefore St. Baldrick's. And people say, is there really a St. Baldrick's?
I get it all the time. I get people going, I don't want to donate to a religious organization. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, it's not even a real word. It's a made up word. No. But yes, get it all the time.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, we fast forward. We're now in our 22nd year. We've had head shaving events in every state in the union and 28 countries. Before COVID, we were close to raising $40 million a year. And to date, we've raised over $465 million for childhood cancer research. We're the biggest funder of childhood cancer research outside of the government. And you mentioned about the level of funding as it relates to pediatric cancer and research. Pediatric AIDS gets 40 times of federal funding that we get, which is astronomical. It's because pediatric AIDS is prevalent. Since we've been talking, probably three or four kids have already been diagnosed with cancer. So it's very important that we keep St. Baldrick's going, growing. And it's not just head shaving, as you said, golf outings, it's corporate founders. Yeah, we took a big dip with COVID. We went down to $25 million in 2020. Went down to $15 million last year. We should be back to 25 or 6 this year. But we got to get back to at least 40 quickly. And our five-year goal is to get to $100 million. And that's ambitious, but we started from zero. I think we can do it with the help of the communities that are involved and can be involved.
Yeah. And what are the unique things, and obviously I know this, but maybe you could speak into that. What are the unique things about St. Patrick's Foundation is, aside from your kind of lean administrative staff, all of the events, the money is raised through volunteer events that take place throughout the country.
Right.
How did you guys come up with that model? What did that, because that's what I do, is I stumbled into running an event in our community, and it has since become something that is like a staple of where we live, and people know that. And I'm like, oh, you're Lori from St. Baldrick's. But I think that is also something that it is very community based. It is very local, personalized, and each event runs as its own kind of like little operating system that funnels into the bigger picture.
Well, I think it started out from the first event being a head shaving event. We weren't even calling it that. We said we're going to get 17 guys to shave their heads and raise $17,000. We didn't even give it a name for our, but it just snowballed. And that became the catalyst, I think, for the second event was in the bar. The third event was in the bar restaurant thing. Just, you know, we didn't do any advertising other than word of mouth. And we would, anytime I went on a business trip or anytime I met anybody, I would tell them about St. Boulder. Because the best contractors you hire is the ones you get through word of mouth, not from the yellow pages or whatever. We went from one event to two events to 10 events to 20 events to 30 events. As you said, unique to each event. Like, it's not like do whatever you want. There's certain rules and regulations that have to be followed, whether it's insurance or things like that. But it really was a community event. Like, we started this on my, I lived in Long Island at the time in Northport. And I think they came on board about 2 years, 3 years later. And all of a sudden it became St. Baldrick's Day. Actually, it got declared St. Baldrick's Day. And one of the things with.
We have that too. We call it St. Baldrick's Day.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I go, we say Baldrick's Day. That's what
absolutely.
We do. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, even in Syracuse, where Kitty Hoynes, Syracuse becomes St. Baldrick's Day. They have a parade for St. Baldrick's, and they end up at this bar and they raise about $500,000. It's crazy. So it was kind of a domino effect, Lori, and without much marketing, to be honest. Like, our website is kind of our operating system, our marketing tool. Yeah. We've done advertising campaigns. We try to get them all done pro bono because we don't like to spend money that could be spent on research. And there are other events. There are maracycles. There are marathons, half marathons, golf. I know you do certain things outside.
We do all
the
kinds
box.
Of crazy stuff. If I can figure out a way to make it and raise money out of it, I'm going to do it. But that's the beauty of it. I do want to talk about, because you bring up a really good point, and that's part of the reason why I also wanted to selfishly have you on, to just give a bigger platform for people to learn about the foundation, is there's a lot of organizations out there, a lot of charities that spend a lot in advertising and are more household names. And I know when we first started and we brought St. Baldrick's to our community, aside from the handful of people who unfortunately were recipients of grants, if they were outside of that cancer world, they didn't really know about St. Baldrick's. They were like, I donate to St. Jude's and I donate to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia because we live in Philadelphia, and all great organizations. But what people didn't realize is that St. Baldrick's funds grants for all of those institutions, but they just don't know about it. So maybe just talk about, because I think for a lot of people, I'm sorry, but I'll say this and then I'll shut up. A lot of people, there's so many organizations and they don't know who to donate to, where the impact of their money is really going. Am I donating to somebody's private plane? Am I donating to marketing collateral? Where am I going? And one of the things that I love about when I donate to St. Baldrick's is I know exactly where the money is going and how it's being presented. And I do a pretty decent job in our backyard about sharing that story and creating that sense of knowledge and comfort for people to know the impact of where their stuff is going. But for just the everyday person, they might not know that. So I'm just wondering if you could speak into a little bit about just kind of what your donor process looks like, where that money is going, how you determine the who gets what. But again, not you don't have to get super in the weeds, but just give some people some context.
Sure. Good place to start is we were giving the money raised to the National Childhood Cancer Foundation. I smelled something. I didn't know what it was, but there was a lack of transparency. When you ask someone a question, they hem and haw, they're probably lying to you. That's how I operate. So I forced myself onto that board. And obviously, that's why we left them and started St. Baldrick's Foundation, because transparency, especially in any walk of life, people are giving their hard-earned money. They want to know where it's going, how much of it is going to the cause, how much is going towards expenses, and what those expenses are. So as a being counter, that was very important that we publish our 990, which is like your tax return for a foundation. We put our annual report out on the website for everyone to see. We have a full independent audit done every year. So that's really, I can go put my hand on my heart when I go talk to people and said, this is how we run the foundation. This is where your money goes. We're strictly research, and our funds, a granting of funds, go to mainly three places. There are 232 hospitals affiliated with the Children's Oncology Group, hospitals that do research for pediatric cancer. We give a lot of grants to those hospitals through the Children's Oncology Group and directly. We have a grant application process for all the ways we give out funds. And we have a scientific advisory committee. There's about 300 pediatric oncologists that review every grant application, which is about 3 inches thick. And they make a recommendation 1 to 5, 1 being the best. Then they come to the board and we vote on the best that we see for the upcoming 12 months. We give it for grants for research. We give it to fellows. The MDs who want to become pediatric oncologists will pay their 3-year fellowship. And we also do have scholars and other sponsorship that we do. But it's all very just self-contained, and we know where every dollar goes. Our expense ratio is tantamount, because like any organization, we have rating agencies looking at us. We are Charity Navigator is our rating agency. We're on the borderline of 3 stars, which is really good. COVID didn't help that, but we had to do a significant downsizing of staff, I hate to say it, but we run it like a business.
I was just going to say, unfortunately, there was like a regular for-profit business. There are unfortunate casualties.
Yeah. You can't go from raising $40 million with the staff that did that and then raising 15, 20. You unfortunately have to cut expenses to keep track of what's going on from the fundraising perspective.
One of the things that I think is so amazing is so many companies, businesses, individuals, entrepreneurs, St. Baldrick's really went and was able to pivot in this state of the pandemic. I know I was right on the front lines. I had an event that was scheduled for March 14th, 2020. Our event shut down literally within 24 to 48 hours prior to it starting. But what, for the most part, the majority of the events that people put on for St. Baldrick's and raise money were in-person events. And so things either got put on hold or had to pivot and get creative to be virtual hat shaving events or other types of events. So although you did take a significant hit when it came to the revenue that was brought in, you were still able to raise significant funding, not as much as you wanted, but it didn't come to a complete halt is where I'm going with that.
Yeah, I remember the days you're talking about vividly. My wife Sheila and I were in Florida, and we were coming back, and we were in a restaurant having lunch, and we were like the last train out of Dodge. But that's when Kathleen Ruddy, who's our CEO, we were back and forth. What do we do? We're going to have to cancel these events or postpone them at least. The one thing about the first year, 2020, is that a lot of the funds had already come in through the credit card system, because 95% of our fundraising is done through credit card. So that's luckily, we would have probably been at 15 like we were the following year. But then we were able to get P from the government to help with downsizing and the reduction in force. And you have to pivot. And we had no choice. And that's when you have to run it just like you normally do. But now you got to really, you're dealing with people's lives. So we went from 75 people to 40 people. And let's say everybody has a child or two or three, and a partner, you're talking about several hundred people's lives that you're affecting. And that's a tough decision. But it has to be made for the good of the foundation and the children that we raise money for research for.
And one of the other things, which I thought was a really interesting, like I hadn't really thought about it until it was articulated to me, was our good friend Susan Hurd, who works for the foundation and very dear friend of mine, who also lost her son to cancer. We were talking about it in those COVID days. And in a lot of businesses, we were able to kind of just put a pin in something and be like, okay, we'll pick this back up when the world opens up again. And we'll just kind of leave it where it is. And then even if it has to sit on a shelf for a little while, we'll come back and then we'll just pick it back up. In the world of research, especially in the type of research that you guys are doing, it doesn't work that way. When things are, there's a shelf life, literally, for how things are going. And when if these grants that you had already committed to funding were not able to be followed through, you're talking about actual, like going back to the beginning, going back to scratch. Mm-hmm. And these were literally kind of life and death. Like people are, imagine a family that's like waiting on a clinical trial for their kid. It's just, this is groundbreaking research that has to get done within a specific time frame. And so you had a very delicate situation that you had to navigate. And so that must have been just really challenging.
It was, but a lot of us are business people like yourselves. So we've kind of been there, done that with corporations. And a foundation is a corporation. It's just got a different vision and a different mission. And the toughest thing is that we always keep a certain amount of working capital for the rainy day, so to speak. We only give away what we have. We don't go into the red. We don't go run a deficit. We always keep, for within a 12-month period, we're always solvent and we're always in a position that we can commit to the grants that we're going to commit to. We had to reduce the grants. Obviously, if you've got $40 million to give away versus 25 versus 15, but we were still able to keep giving grants to the grant applicants. Our biggest issue was controlling expenses, because if you, again, going back to what we talked about earlier, if you don't have the revenue, you can't give it away. So it was tough and we got through it. The good thing is we used to have virtual events on a very small scale, probably starting about 10 years ago. So it wasn't that big, a huge step to start virtual events. And we raised $15 million doing virtual events, which, it's not 40, but it's allowed us to keep research going. And we knew we would come out at the other end by cost cutting and getting back to, and it's not just head shaving events. There's what 92-93% of all our funds raised come from head shaving events, and they're coming back. What's scarier right now is what's going on in geopolitical issues, whether it's midterms, whether it's Russia or it's Ukraine, inflation, disposable income, all things that we have to think about as a foundation. Like, how do we project and budget or reforecast, not knowing what's going to happen? You can surmise what's going to happen, but you can't manage an organization like Symbolics without taking all those things into consideration. We got out of the equity market, thank God, just before COVID, and we made $1 million of capitalized gains. We put it into cash, and now we're getting 3.5% on that, which is, it's a note change. It's $500,000 a year, which we wouldn't have had if we didn't make a good investment choice. So,
and I think one of the things that I personally love about the St. Baldrick's Foundation is the fact that there are so many different ways that people can get involved. And for us, and this is my call to action for all you guys out here to think about, is I don't shave. So everyone looking at me on YouTube, not shaving my head, haven't shaved my head. There might come a time where you could put a real big bounty on this head and I will shave it.
A challenge?
I don't know.
I'll volunteer to take it as a challenge.
Okay. So I'm like, my heart's starting to palpitate really fast. But what I love about it, and we did this in our community event, is I said, listen, I love the head shaving because it's what St. Baldrick's, how it started. It's kind of your origin story. It's a way for kids to show solidarity. And in our case, we had kids that were actively going through treatment. So they were able to like be there as a buddy for their friends. But not everybody wants to shave their head. And I said, that's okay. We can raise money lots of different creative ways. So we have a carnival. We do 3v3 basketball. We have a silent auction. This year we did a bar crawl. So we did all of we have a bunch of our local bars and people signed up and we called it Bars for Baldrick's. And so there are all of these other ways that you can, our high school students do a pie a teacher contest during Spirit Week. So you can get people involved and passionate about doing things with really minimal investment. And you don't have to like do go outside your comfort zone. You can if you want to, and you can raise a lot of money shaving your head or doing other things. But again, you could have a bake sale and say, I'm going to donate the money. A kid could go, I'm going to cut lawns and I'm going to give 10% of my proceeds to St. Baldrick's. So there are things that people can do to raise money. And again, you could do that for any charity and organization. I love the work that St. Baldrick's does. I love the mission. I love the people behind it. Again, I tell people in life, if someone tells me about either a website, a store, an organization, the first place I go is the about page, because I'm a relational person and I want to know the story. I want to know the people behind the product or the service. And that was part of my mission for wanting to bring you out today, because you don't just walk the walk, you know, talk the talk, you walk the walk. And so for anybody out there, I'm going to encourage you, especially during this holiday season, look at what's really important to you. Look around at the people who are important to you. Look about the gifts that you have, right? The gifts of your talents, whatever that is. And how can you use that to serve other people, whether it's supporting organizations like St. Baldrick's or something else that's near and dear to your heart? I just think you can't put a price tag on the service.
Just to that point, I'm sure your listeners have figured out now how enthusiastic and what a St. Baldrick's ambassador you are, Lori. And I get chills just thinking about all the things that you probably are the one who spearheaded the kind of huge combination of different ways to raise funds. And I know you and I have spoken about you being a coach, and I can't think of anyone more qualified to coach others about how to fundraise other than you, and say that in public here as a compliment to you. And we can't do what we do without people like you and your volunteers and your donors. Yeah, we can go after big ticket items. My wife and I were able to donate. But it's the grassroots. That's where 95% of the money comes from, individual and from events. So thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you for those kind words. I do appreciate it. And it takes a village. And I want anybody listening out there, whether you are interested in maybe starting a St. Baldrick's event in your neck of the woods, or if you are interested, if you're a corporation, you're looking to do corporate sponsorships or get behind somebody or support our event, let us know. We're going to have links to all of this in our show notes, on our podcast page, ways to connect up with me, of course, because I would love nothing more than to help continue grow the legacy that you've already started, for sure, with St. Baldrick's. And I've been able to reap the benefits by watching kids that were elementary school kids that are now in college and graduating college, that they grew up with St. Baldrick's in our community and then went to college and got involved at a local chapter there. And then they went out and now they're volunteering and doing stuff. And they understand not only about service, but what questions to ask about, where does your money go? What are you doing to support these? So they're able to ask educated questions. And my mission with these young kids is just leading by example and showing up and showing that there's so many different ways. And my husband, who's a big head shaver for St. Baldrick's and has been for some time, some of the most meaningful donations he gets when he does his like social media outreach is when my kids' friends in college send him $10, $20.
That's an excellent point, Laurie. People will say to me, if I have an event, I don't think I can raise more than $2,000. I say, if you raise a dollar, it's better than no dollar. So nothing, there are no small donations. Every donation adds up. 10 ones is 10, 10 tens is 100, and 10 hundreds is 1,000. And that's how you grow. So it's very important that your listeners know that just because you can't have an event that will raise $200,000 or $300,000 doesn't mean you should have an event.
Absolutely. My first event, and I had no idea what I was doing. Our first event raised $29,000. I had a set a goal of 30, which I like pulled out of my head. I was like, I don't know where. And I was so annoyed that we were so close. We did. And next year, our friend Susan said, you should set a goal at 50,000. And my heart started racing. And every year we've continued to raise the bar, and we've been able to make a significant impact. I'd like to thank our community.
I think you've surpassed.
We've raised over, I think it's close to $1.4 million, I think, our little town over the past 8 years. And again, this just started with wanting to support a couple of our local friends whose kids were undergoing treatment. And what can we do to make a difference? And now it is something that even during COVID, kids looked like they were so sad that they didn't have it. But we had virtual and they couldn't wait. Last year, we had a big in-person event and it was amazing. And there are little things that everybody can do out there. So just think about it when you're feeling overextended and you're thinking about all the day-to-day stuff that you have to be doing. There are things like this that really can make a difference in your life. And so thank you, Tim, for all that you did.
It's a pleasure.
Before we leave, everybody, give them... what's the best place for them to go if they want to get involved, if they want to learn more? I'll, of course, have links to our personal stuff, but tell them where they should go.
The best place to start is our website, stbaldricks.org. And I know every website has its issues, but I think it's a very good place to start. And it will take you wherever you want to go. But also around your own locality. I know there was a time when we'd have St. Baldrick's posters up all over little towns, keep your ear to the ground. And the good thing is, like, I get on planes now with my green bracelet and people say, are you St. Baldrick's? Yeah, I said, I'm kind of involved.
People, my green bracelet's always on.
Yeah.
It's always on.
That's the kind of free advertising we do. So
Yes. I love it. Nothing makes me happier than when I'm walking around my town and I see kids and teachers and adults and grandparents all wearing St. Baldrick's shirts from years past. And I'll have kids at college text me, look, Mrs. Palau, someone's wearing a St. Baldrick's shirt. And it's like a common denominator for them to go and have a conversation. So I love it.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back. We're going to do our wrap up questions on this Thanksgiving episode with my good friend, Tim Kenny. Hold tight. Hey guys, happy November. For this month, we're going to be doing a big emphasis on gratitude. It's Thanksgiving. We're in the holiday spirit. And so I want to highlight one of my good friend, Denise Albright's special products, which is called her Gratitude Finder. Now, the Gratitude Finder is this adorable spiral notebook. And I'm saying adorable. She's got 19 different styles. They're 12 styles for women and girls. There's some faith-based styles, 4 styles for tweens. There's gender-neutral styles. So again, this is not just something that is for people that want to necessarily keep a diary. This is a actual notebook that allows you to write down things, people that you are grateful for. And what I love about it is it's non-dated and it gives a lot of prompts because sometimes we forget the things that, like the little things in life that we're grateful for. And especially if we're having a bad day, we might not be able to think off the top of our head, like something that we're grateful for. And these little prompts just nudge you gently into really looking into the little things that give us gratitude in our lives. If this is something that you want to give to a child, there are a bunch of stickers, like over 100 something stickers. That is something that can make it a fun activity. And they have this thing called the RAK, R-A-K, which stands for Random Acts of Kindness. And each page encourages you to do a RAK, which could be something like paying for someone's meal or sending a note to a friend or complimenting a stranger. It doesn't have to be anything that costs any money or anything that's big, but just these small little gestures that all add up to big things. So again, I think we should always be practicing gratitude, but especially during this holiday season, it's really important to get into the practice of doing it. I love these notebooks. Denise is having an incredible special. It's like a Black Friday November special. So if you visit her website anytime through the month of November, you can receive incredible offers on all of her products, especially the Gratitude Finder. So visit DeniseAlbright.com to take advantage of this offer. Use code SBGIFTS at checkout to receive 25% off your entire order. Offer good through 12/15/22. Cannot be combined with any other offers. Also, if you click in the link in our show notes, it'll direct you right to the page from this Organized Life podcast. So you will go right to the Gratitude Binder page. And we really encourage you to check it out and support small local businesses, women-owned businesses, and everybody that has bought stuff from Denise Albright has been telling me how much they love her stuff. So go check it out. Thanks. All right, Tim. So obviously the show is about gratitude and Thanksgiving and inspiration. And I thank you for all the work that you have done and continue to do for others. We love to get ideas and inspiration from our guests. So can you tell us, is there a book that you either go back to often or something that you kind of recommend to other people that you can share with us as something that's been impactful in your life?
Yeah, I love to read. But back in 2008, I picked up this book called, I still have it, Chasing Daylight.
Okay.
And it's the chairman CEO of KPMG was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer and given 3 to 4 months to live. So what he decided to do was not sit and wallow in self-pity, but he decided that he was going to basically live his life to the best he could. And what he decided to do was to contact all his friends, contact acquaintances, make amends, tell a story, and basically how he puts it, he said, how my forthcoming debt transformed my life. And it's well worth reading because he talked about gratitude and being thankful. Yeah, he was in a position financially to do this, but anyone can do it. Do you just sit and wallow in self-pity, or do you go out there and do something meaningful, not just for you, but for your family, your friends, people you hadn't seen in a while? And it's just a great read. I go back and I read it every couple of years, and it keeps one grounded. It just goes to show you, yeah, it's a dense sentence, but he made the very best of it for his family, his friends, his acquaintances, and business associates, etc. I find it's a very inspiring book. And
I'm going to buy it. That's what I take all my recommendations. I'm pushing this one to the top of the reading list.
So. Yeah, his name is Eugene O'Kelly. I didn't know that when I was looking at the book, but I assume he's Irish somewhere along the line. But it's kind of one of those books that it's a bit like Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. That's kind of another one of my favorite books, and a Bible. So they're my three books.
I love it. And then, all right, Tim, you have it all together, it seems, right?
No,
but we do know that everybody's got areas that they are thriving and areas that, hey, well, this is a rough season or this is where I'm struggling. And so because our show is all about honesty and authenticity and celebrating the good and the bad, in this season of your life, where do you feel like your life is organized and where do you feel like you're a little bit of a hot mess?
My life used to be very organized because as a CEO of a $4 billion company, 4,000 people, I was a big to-do list person. And I'm talking about back in the day when, and I still do it, have your yellow pad and the to-do list I would put together every evening before I left work. And, it ranged from calling clients to talking to peers, direct reports, blah, blah, blah. Since I retired, I don't have to be as organized, but I'd like to be more organized. It's like, it's a big adjustment from getting up at 4:30 in the morning and working until midnight. Just now my biggest challenge is working with Sam Baldrick's and going to the gym. And
the golf course. And the golf course.
That probably fits into where I am a hot mess. But my golf doesn't love me as much. But that's probably where I'm unsatisfied or dissatisfied with my performance these days. But yeah.
All right, Tim, you got to time block some more practice golf course.
I know. I totally agree. That's the plan for this winter season in Florida. So
I love it. Once again, on behalf of myself, our local community here in Little New Hope, and all of us at the This Organized Life podcast community, thank you for all the work that you do, for laying the groundwork for people like me to be able to share the mission of St. Baldrick's. And thank you for continuing to inspire hope and truly save lives. And the work that you're doing really is.
Right back at you, Lori. You're an inspiration. And I'm sure all your listeners already know that. But I've gotten to know you this past year. We've had several phone calls and exchanges. And you energize me. And I'm sure you do that for everyone else as well. And thank you for what you do for St. Baldrick's and everyone else.
And guys, again, it's Thanksgiving Day. We got Giving Tuesday. That's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. There's always a good time to get involved. Right? There's never this perfect time. You can always do something. I'm going to encourage you guys to get involved in one way or another, learn a little bit about our organization, and be grateful for your family, your friends. And I'm grateful for you. Until next week, I'm Lori Palau. Peace out.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, please spread the love and share it with your friends. If this is your first time joining us, make sure to click the subscribe button wherever you are listening so you never miss an episode. And while you're there, please leave us a review so other people know that our show is worth the listen. You can also find us on YouTube and Instagram at This Organized Life Podcast. And if you'd like to connect with us, you can head on over to our website at simply the letter B like boy organized.com, which is filled with tons of resources, including free downloads, checklists, links to our amazing organizing partners, and all of our digital offerings. I'll see you next week for another episode of This Organized Life.